Okay. Welcome to our second session of the day, third session of the weekend. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do the second message today, but it looks like it's going to happen. This is very hard for me because I don't sleep, I don't get much rest. I have to do a lot of talking. It's a lot of energy. People will be like, why haven't you gained weight? Because I'm always talking. That's some easy weight loss program. Just keep talking. But I thank God for the opportunity to come here and talk about Christ. I did not think that my voice would hold up after all the issues that I was having in the past 3 days. But the Lord is always faithful. It's warm. It's actually warmer for me than you guys because I'm coming from winter. Yeah. So it's really warm for me. So I need help. But you hear the gospel. I am here to declare to you the gospel of Jesus Christ as God would have you to understand it and to know it. And we have been saying a lot of things so far. And one of the things is that you cannot take your salvation for granted because eternity is too long and hell too hot to get Jesus wrong. This is the matter of life and death. It's the matter of you meeting with your Maker and having to give account and to make payment for your sins, which you can't pay because you don't have the means to pay for your sins. And so God has but one option, to send you to hell. And when you go to hell, you will never be able to make payment for your sins. So there's nothing called purgatory where you go and finish the payment of your sins. If Jesus did not already paid for your sins, you will never be able to make payment for your sins. So purgatory is not faithful teaching. There's no text in the Bible that teaches that you are going to go to purgatory. What you find reading the Bible is that Jesus paid for all the sins of his people for all time. He perfected forever. That's Hebrews 10:14. He perfected forever those who are sanctified, which means the ones who are holy. Everyone who is in Christ is holy. Everyone who is a true believer of Christ is a saint, because saint and holy is the same word. You are not a saint because you do a lot of good things. You can never do enough good things to be holy. You are only a saint because you are in Christ. Christ is the one who is holy. So God has put you in the one who is holy. So a true believer in Christ is as saint as they will ever come. Okay? So the gospel that we are teaching is sovereign grace gospel, which means it is God doing the saving of the sinner without the sinner. But So sovereign grace means God doing the saving. The sinner is the one who is being saved. You don't help in your own salvation. You need to be saved. God saves sinners by grace and grace alone. Because salvation is not a kitchen soup project to help the poor. Salvation is about the glory of God. God has to get the glory for saving you. And God will not share his glory with anyone. He won't. So if you do anything to be saved, to that extent, you have to share in the glory of God. And it's not going to happen. So any salvation teaching that says you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, depending on the church that you go to be saved, is telling a lie on Jesus. Sovereign grace salvation is the only gospel message there is. That is the message that you find written from Genesis. When God was creating, he was already preaching. The sun and the moon, they preach the gospel. They are just not there for you to see. They are there to preach the gospel. The sun is a picture of Christ Jesus. The moon is a type of the law. The moon does not have its own light. When the moon is shining, it shines the light that comes from the sun. The law does not have its own salvation. It is only testifying of salvation that is from the Son who is Christ. The law is or was the shadow of the good things to come. The shadow, a picture of the good things to come. The good things to come in Christ Jesus. So when you begin to learn and hear the gospel of sovereign grace, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are going to find yourself in trouble with a lot of religious people because they too don't know the gospel. They think the gospel is there to make people good. The gospel does not make you good. It makes you righteous before God because of Christ who died. You're only righteous before God because of Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's what we are teaching. And we're just beginning. And it's going to happen very fast. There's a lot of stuff to say, and it's going to come, and we'll be gone. We are done. So take advantage of this moment to actually come and learn. I wish more people, every time with every message, even as I was preparing the messages 2 months ago, I was like, I just hope more people will come and hear this. Because the one thing that happens when you hear the truth, even if you have never heard it, you're going to say, I wish more people had come. So we haven't prayed. So I'm going to pray and we'll go to our next message and we'll be done. Typically, I would have wanted to do some singing. It's just too much work and stuff. We'll do that later. We will do maybe 2, 3 songs and that's it. We don't have a praise and worship team. We're just wasting time. I know some of you have your gifts that you want to showcase. Praise God. So anyway, let's go before the Lord and ask for his blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come again this afternoon to honor you and praise your name for everything that you are for this day again, for keeping us and saving us and providing for us and, Lord, giving us the understanding of Christ. I pray again, Lord, that you speak to your people with the scriptures and with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, asking, Lord, that you give me the grace to speak. Lord, have mercy upon your people. For the sake of your name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our teaching is going to be somewhere in the Bible. If I can get to... Our teaching is going to be from Genesis 25. Genesis 25, verses 23 to 33. And then we're going to pick it up from Genesis 27, verses 1 to 29. We don't change the formula ever. We read the text, and then we explain the text. That's the only way to do it. Genesis 25, Moses wrote and said, "And the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.'" God is talking to Rebecca. Rebecca is pregnant. "So when the days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents, and Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Verse 29. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary, and Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now to Genesis 27. You see, we read the Bible because we don't assume that people know what the story is about. Genesis 27. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered him, "Here I am." And he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, his son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the gods, and I'll make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father," verse 10, "that he may eat it, that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the gods on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you taught me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God has brought it to me." Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me, and I'll eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and he kissed him and he smelled the smell of his clothing. And he blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. And that's the word of the Lord, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have one title for this one. I never preached this message at my church. I've preached it quite a number of times, but I've never preached it at my church. It's just crazy. I first preached it at a house, at some house in Pennsylvania somewhere. That's where God began to develop the teaching, and now it's been just crazy. Okay. If you cannot be blessed by any message, you have to be blessed by this one. God will demonstrate to you through this story how salvation actually works. We have to know how salvation works. We can't just go to church to go to church. I am saying you can't go to church. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time to go to church just to go to church. If you are not going to learn about Jesus, there's no reason why you should go to church, because that church is not a church. It's a social club. It's a religious social club. I've titled this message, He Despised His Birthright. He despised his birthright. As we have been learning, all scriptures testify of Jesus, which means the whole Old Testament from Genesis to Revelation, they have one single message. They are talking about the one and same person, that is Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter which character you're dealing with in the Old Testament, whatever event, whatever is happening, if you can't read it and come out with Christ, you did not understand it. So God in the Old Testament was teaching or declaring the gospel in types and shadows. A type is a picture of Christ, a picture of God the Father, a picture of the Holy Spirit. So everything that is recorded in the Old Testament are pictures of Christ. They speak, they tell you in a shadow about salvation. So when you read about Joseph, you read about David, you read about Abraham, you should come at the end of it with Jesus. You have to find Jesus in Abraham. You have to find Jesus in Joseph. When you read the book of Esther, you should not come with the Esther's fast. You should come out with the gospel. Amen. Because Esther is a type of Christ. Esther is a type of Christ. A people has come under condemnation. It is Esther who intercedes for their salvation. So she's a type of Christ. If I had more time, I would expand on that and show you more understanding of how all these things connect. As Brother Tendai was saying earlier about the feasts in the Old Testament, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Passover, all these feasts, they were speaking of something greater. If a church is celebrating a feast from the Old Testament, you know they don't know what they're talking about. Because the feasts were representing Christ. They were representing something that Christ was doing. The Passover was representing Christ as the one who was going to come and die and be offered, his blood shed and put on the doors of those who were under condemnation, that they may be set free. So Christ is our Passover. Christ is the first fruits because he was the first one to resurrect from the dead. So all those feasts, the Feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, 49 days after the death of Christ. So all those things were fulfilled in Christ. And now we go to the story of Jacob and Esau and learn in what way that speaks to your salvation, that speaks to the understanding of how salvation actually works. And I'm telling you and telling you again, you never get understanding of this nature if the preacher is not teaching. If they're just coming and say, God wants you to do this if you do this. God wants you to do this. If you bring your money, you tithe. If you appointment with the man of God, you need to make an appointment with the man of God. He has an anointing. If the man of God cannot give you the teaching of Christ, he has no anointing. Every believer has the same Holy Spirit. I don't have more Holy Spirit than any one of you. The Holy Spirit is God. God cannot be divided and God cannot be multiplied. So if you have the Holy Spirit, it is the same one who is speaking through me. He just uses me to teach. That's all there is to it. I don't have more of the Holy Spirit. So for those who teach, just some understanding. In the Old Testament, I talked about the types. So a type is a person. They may be a sinner, which all of them were. But with Christ, we have the fulfillment of the type. So we have the type and the opposite. The fulfillment of the type is called the anti-type or the archetype. You don't have to remember that. What you have to remember is that Christ fulfilled all the types in the Old Testament. Amen. Okay? So now we need to know how. We should be able, from this text, to preach about everything that you know about the gospel from the new. So we have here a very well-known story of the birth of Esau and Jacob, twin brothers. And there's a lot of gospel testimony that is contained in this story. And God gave us their stories that we may learn of how God actually does salvation. And Moses records for us and says, Genesis 25, verse 21. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went and inquired of the Lord. Verse 23 to 33. Of Genesis 25. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. God said, you have two people groups in your womb that are represented by the twins. The twins are preaching something about Christ and salvation. And everything said and done, the order of the twins shall serve the younger one. So when her days, verse 24, were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in a womb, and the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the name of Jacob means the heel catcher, the deceiver, the cheater, the supplanter. That's what Jacob means. So the one who was the younger brother was the deceiver. So Esau is the older brother, and he was very hairy. Like a hairy garment all over. So we develop this story so that you get into the details of the story. We have to work it so that you understand the details. It's in the details. Now to the characters and abilities of the twins, verse 27. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau. Pay attention to that. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. Isaac loved the firstborn that he loved the second one. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Esau sells his birthright. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. Esau came from the fields hungry. He was famished. He was starving, and he asked to have some of the red stew that Jacob had prepared. Verse 31, but Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." Now that is a very strange way of doing things with your brother. Your brother comes home hungry, and the first thing that you say to them is, "You sell me your birthright of inheritance before I give you some of my stew." Verse 32, and Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me? The birthright is the right of inheritance. That's the issue. And Esau has, as the firstborn, the first right of inheritance. He would inherit everything that was owned by Isaac." Verse 33. Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So Jacob put Esau, the brother, under an oath. And an oath, that's law, that's binding. So he swore to him and swore to his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. That is the conclusion of the matter. Esau despised his birthright. Esau, the firstborn, sold his birthright in exchange for what? For bread and stew of lentils, and he ate and drank and arose and went his way. He despised his birthright. Now, that sounds like a very cheap transaction to me. I mean, Isaac was very rich. Abraham was so rich. The father of Isaac was Abraham. Now, Abraham was very rich. He was so rich that he had his own army. Yes. He had an army of more than 400 something people. Now that's rich. I mean, like. Now Isaac had inherited everything from Abraham according to Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, if you still remember that teacher. Now hear this. Eliezer is speaking. Eliezer was the servant of Abraham. He was the caretaker of all things that belonged to Abraham. Eliezer is commanded by Abraham to go look for a bride for his son Isaac. And Abraham says, "Eliezer, go and get a wife for my son from my own people." You just don't go and get a wife from anywhere you want. You have to get a wife by oath. So you're going to put your hand on my lap and swear to me that you get the very wife of my son from my own people. Genesis 24, verse 34 to 36. Eliezer goes to Laban, the brother of Rebekah. He gets home, and that's where we pick up at verse 34. "I am Abraham's servant," Eliezer says. "The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male, female servants, and camels and donkeys. My master is lauded. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has." So you see, everything that belonged to Abraham was given to Isaac. Isaac is a type of Christ. Isaac is a type of Christ because Isaac was born as a child of promise. Isaac was offered on Mount Moriah by his father. Isaac willingly offered himself on Mount Moriah, the son that Abraham loved, the only son of Abraham, according to God, was Isaac. That son was offered on Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is the same range of mountains as Mount Calvary. So God was already preaching in the crucifixion in a picture that Christ was going to be crucified as the beloved son of God. This one who had all the inheritance. Now that inheritance is coming to the twins. It's connected. Eleazar is a servant of Abraham. When he goes to Laban, he brings a testimony. Eleazar knows everything about Abraham and Isaac. He knows about the riches. Eleazar does not talk about himself. Eleazar comes, they even offer him food, and he says, no, I am not going to eat your food until I'm done with my business, the business of my master. So this is what has happened. My master is so rich, and he has a son. He is testifying of the son. Eleazar is a picture of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he does not talk about himself. The Holy Spirit talks about the son who is loved of the father. The son is Christ. When you go to a church where they're always talking about the Holy Spirit, it means the Holy Spirit is not there, I meant. If they're always talking about the Holy Spirit, it means the Holy Spirit is not there. When the Holy Spirit is there, he talks about the Son. The Holy Spirit this, the Holy Spirit taught me this, the Holy Spirit taught me my husband was cheating on me, the Holy Spirit, no. The Holy Spirit testifies of the Son and his riches. The Holy Spirit talks about Jesus. That's how you know you are in a church of Christ. Now that takes us to Genesis 27. Now it came to pass, when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son, and he answered him, here I am. And then he said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat it, that my soul may bless you. Isaac is old. Pay attention to that. And he has to speak to the issues of passing on his inheritance, passing on everything that he has, and blessing the heir before he dies. So that is the context. That is the setting of the story. Now, Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, his son, saying, indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make me savory food for me that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Mommy was sitting and listening into the conversation. She was eavesdropping with the nails done, maybe with an iPad if she had one. She's hearing the conversation and she's like, okay, son, you're going to get a bad deal. I'm going to tell you what is going down. I'm going to tell you what's going on. Remember, Jacob is mommy's boy. Jacob is mommy's boy. He would be at home playing video games with mommy cooking. That's the relationship. Esau is daddy's man, right? It's very important. Follow the argument. Verse 8, Genesis 27. Now, therefore, my son, this is Rebekah speaking to Jacob, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the gods, and I'll make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. Do you see that Jacob took after the mother? The mother is very tricky. She's a conniver, just like Jacob. She's a trickster. And that's why the two get along so well. So she has a suggestion for Jacob to do, to go and get two choice, the best kids of goats. They had some goats. And slaughter them so that she would make some savory food for Isaac, exactly as Isaac loves, that Jacob should be blessed instead of Esau. And that should happen before Esau gets back. Pay attention. Rebecca knows the recipe of what Isaac loves. Rebecca has the recipe book. She knows both a man and a kitchen very well. But Jacob has reservations about this plan. Jacob is doubting this plan. He is skeptical of it. Verse 11 and 12. And Jacob said to Rebecca, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, which you are, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." Jacob is thinking, this is a very risky proposal. Why? Because Esau and I are different people. Esau is a hairy man, and I have smooth skin. Like almost Jacob was going to the saloon. If I am discovered, I shall seem to be a deceiver, and the end of it will be a curse instead of a blessing. Verse 18. But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. Mommy is a champ." And she reassures him and said, "I take the beating. I'll take the beating on your behalf. Just obey what I told you to do and we shall be safe. I know your father better than you." Verse 14. And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Rebecca made the food just as Isaac loved. Rebecca made the food just as Isaac loved, exactly the way that Isaac loved. And what else did she do? Verse 15. Then Rebecca took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. Rebecca then took the best clothes, the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, and put them on the younger son Jacob. I mean, like, Jacob, why don't you have your own nice clothes to wear to the father that you may get the blessing? Why do you have to get the clothes of your older brother that you may get the blessing? And now, to ensure maximum coverage, this is what mommy does. Verse 16. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Mommy is busy covering. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So after clothing her son and covering all the smooth skin, she gave him the food that she had prepared to go give to his father Isaac. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And Isaac said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to him, "I am Esau, your firstborn." Jacob is already lying. "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, sit and eat of my preparation, that your soul may bless me. Jacob comes to Isaac and says, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have brought you all that you asked of me. Therefore, eat of my game, eat of all my kill and my cooking, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? Isaac says, man, oh man, I am old and blind, but that was some hunting and cooking record. That was some hunting and cooking record. How did you get that so quickly? Did you find one that was dead already? And he said, because the Lord your God brought it to me, Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. Isaac wants to check. Isaac is looking for some V11 forms to make sure, just to make sure that they were authentic as Jacob had brought them. He says, come near that I may feel you, that I may check whether you are really my son Esau or not. Isaac is essentially blind. Isaac is blind. He's very purposeful. He's blind. And so he has to depend on his sense of touch. But he knows the difference between son, whom he loves, and mommy's boy. He knows the difference. When he feels them, he knows the difference. So, verse 22. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, and so he blessed him. Isaac is like, I'm not trusting this situation. The voice is surely the voice of Jacob. But the hands are the hands of those of my son whom I love. They are hairy. And so he was confused. He had to rely on his sense of touch. So he touched Jacob and he was like, okay, it does feel like my son. So he blessed Jacob with the inheritance. And someone will say, it's not fair. Then he said, are you really my son, Esau? Jacob said, I am. Isaac is still having some doubt. And he needs some reassurance. Verse 25. He said, bring it to me, bring it near to me, and I'll eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing, and he blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Jacob brings the game, and Isaac ate, brought him some wine, and he drank. Then he said, come near and kiss me. And it was done. Isaac smelled the clothing of Esau that were on Jacob, and he blessed him. Isaac smelled the smell of the clothing of Esau that were on the deceiver, and he blessed him. Esau comes back later with his game prepared. He had his food ready, and he brings it to the father just a few moments after Jacob had received the blessing, and Isaac is amazed, he's stunned. Verse 32. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? So he said, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And now, look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Just a little bit of stuff that you have. Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master and all his brethren. I have given to him as servants with grain and wine, and I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? This happened exactly as God has said it would happen when Rebekah was pregnant, that the younger son was going to get the blessing, and that the older was going to serve the younger. Okay? And that is a very sad story. If you're just reading that story and looking at the details, it is a very sad story. It is an unfair story in many ways, humanly speaking. We could not imagine something like that happening to us, especially when we are talking of blessing of such a scale. When that which we thought was ours is given to someone else. But if we remain with that thinking, then we miss the point that God is teaching. We miss the point of salvation. This is how God ordered salvation to happen. Now, we work the gospel testimony from it. And that to say, that was just introduction. That was just introduction. Now you kind of have an idea of what's going on. The older has to serve the younger. And the younger is one by the name of Jacob. He doesn't have a very good name because of who he is. Jacob is a troublemaker, a transplanter. Jacob is a liar. Jacob is a deceiver. And that is to say, Jacob is a sinner. Who is Jacob? Jacob is the sinner. Jacob is you. You are Jacob. You have to be Jacob. Because you are not a righteous person. You have never been righteous in and by yourself as God sees you. You have been cheating your way from one thing to the next. That's who you are. So what hope do you have as Jacob? What hope do you have of getting an inheritance as Jacob? Because that's the issue of the gospel. We already identified that you and I are under sin. We're born from our mother's belly speaking lies. We are not righteous people. What hope do you have? Where do you get the blessing? We have to know how to get God's blessing. Or we have to know how God gives the blessing. That is the more appropriate way. We have to know, we have to understand, to believe the gospel means you believe in the way that God bestows blessing. And when we're talking about blessing, we're not talking about a new iPhone. We're not talking about a new car. When you're talking about the inheritance of salvation, we are talking about the forgiveness of your many sins. You have so many sins that will fill up all the buses in the world. We still need some more, and trains, and all cargo airplanes. Esau is the righteous man. Esau is the honest and faithful man. And yet Esau gets the short end of the stick. Esau is loved of the father. The one who gets shortchanged is the one who was loved of the father. Now we have been told that Isaac was very old and his eyes were dim. He was blind. What is that saying? Esau is a type of Christ. Isaac in this picture is a type of God the Father, the Ancient of Days. Isaac is old. He represents God who is the Ancient of Days. When God is old, it doesn't mean he has a walking stick. It just means he exists from everlasting to everlasting. He is the Ancient of Days. So the Ancient of Days in the picture of Isaac is he who wants to bless his son, to bless the one whom he loves. That is the plot. That's what God wrote. That's what God decreed. This is not about Isaac. This is not about Rebecca, Isaac, or Jacob. This is God dramatizing. This is drama that is acting out in the real life of real people. But the script is a gospel script. God is he who wrote the story to disguise the knowledge of Christ from people until the Holy Spirit comes and begins to expound, to explain what those scriptures actually mean. Earlier in Genesis 25, Esau had come back from the field. Very hungry. So hungry and at the point of death. So he asked his brother, he asked for some of this stew that Jacob had prepared. And Jacob says, you have to sell me your birthright. You are not getting this for free. And right there we have a problem. Just as the situation is developing. Why did Rebecca not have something to eat for her son? She only had two sons. Because God had already said to her, this was going to happen when the twins were still in the mother's belly. So Esau had to come back home hungry. So he did not have an option but to sell his birthright for a pottage of stew. That is really some cheap transaction. That's some cheap transaction. It's cheap. But after some time, Isaac was old and his eyes had grown dim. He could not see. He was blind. He thought to pronounce the blessing of inheritance onto the son that he loved. So he asked Esau to go get some game and prepare it so that he may bless him. The son who has to be blessed is Esau. He is the type of Christ in this story, in this transaction. Esau represents Christ. Because he is the one who is loved of the Father. He is the firstborn. Christ is the firstborn of God. Not that Jesus is firstborn in terms of birth certificate, but in that he is the only begotten of God. The firstborn means the one who has the first right of inheritance. Christ Jesus is the firstborn in that he has the first right of inheritance to all things that belong to the Father who is God. So Jesus will come and speak to us in the book of John and says the Father loves the Son and has given all things to the Son. So Jesus is the firstborn. In Luke 10, 22, Jesus says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. All things have been given to me by my Father. So Rebecca listens to the conversation. She hears the intention to bless the firstborn. Rebecca is the one who seems to be in the care of Jacob as a sinner. Rebecca knows everything that God has spoken about the children, that the older shall serve the younger, that the younger shall get the blessing of the older. Rebecca knows how to make the food as the father loves. We are developing the profile of Rebecca for the story to make sense. Rebecca knows everything about how to approach the father and get the blessing for one who does not deserve it. Rebecca is the only one who knows how to dress the sinner that they may get the blessing, the one who does not deserve it. Only Rebecca knows the recipe. Only Rebecca knows. Who is Rebecca? She's a type of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not there to tell you about your business adventures. The Holy Spirit does not do the things that people claim he does. The Holy Spirit is not in your marriage ring. I heard some foolish person say that. He is not in your house. If the Holy Spirit is in someone's marriage ring, what about those who are not married? Are they not going to have the Holy Spirit too? And people say, amen, we receive it. Receive what? Foolishness. The Holy Spirit cannot be put in things. You can't put God in a bottle of water and say, oh, I'm selling anointed water or anointing, whatever. The Holy Spirit is God. He is Spirit. He indwells God's people. Hear this in Romans 8. Romans 8, 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that does not mean speaking in tongues. It's gibberish. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints, the ones who belong to Christ, according to the will of God. So when you pray, if you're going to pray the prayer that God accepts, it does not begin with you. You are not the one who begins prayer. If you're going to pray according to the will of God, it is the Holy Spirit who is in you, who forms prayer in you. So the things that you're saying to God are not beginning with you, because you don't know the will of God. The Holy Spirit does. And God has given the Holy Spirit that you may pray according to the will of God. Because your prayer, your best prayer, has so much sin to send you to hell forever. Me, 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 me. God give me this. God give me that. God give me this. And God give me that. That's you praying. Lord have mercy. So many do intercessions that are not according to the will of God, because they want to use the Holy Spirit for things that he was not given to do. The Holy Spirit is about Jesus. The Holy Spirit testifies about Christ and Christ alone. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. So Rebecca is a type of the Holy Spirit who is intimate with the details of blessing and how it is going to be done. We have here then the three persons of the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have Isaac as a picture of God the Father. We have Esau as a picture of the Son who is loved, begotten of the Father. We have this Holy Spirit who is in the picture of Rebecca, who is also loved of the Father and surely also by Esau. So Rebecca continues and says, verse 8 of Genesis 27, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the gods, and I'll make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. Rebecca says, listen to me, son. Listen to me, son. That's what the Holy Spirit will come and speak to you about. He gives you the ability to hear the truth of God. Listen to me, my son. Let me tell you how the blessing of salvation works. I want you to get this blessing from your father. But it has to happen the same way that he commanded it to be done. The blessing has to happen exactly the way that the Father commanded. Salvation has to happen exactly the way that God the Father commanded. Something has to die before the blessing can be given. If there's no death, there's nothing for the Father to eat. The blessing cannot come. Something has to die. Christ has to die before the blessing can be given. That's the only condition for the blessing to be given. The death of Christ is the only reason why you shall see heaven. The death of Christ is the only reason why you shall not go to hell. There's nothing else there is for you to do to get the blessing. There are no formulas of salvation other than what God has given in the death of his son. Rebecca says, and I know how to get it done for you. You go and get me the best kids of the gods. You go and get not just some sickly kid of a god, but the best one. You go and get me a god to kill. The best one is representing Christ, is a picture of Christ. The one who was without sin, the one who was holy and undefiled and separate from sinners. You go get that one and kill him before I give you the blessing. Slaughter them and bring the meat to me. And I'll make the savory food for you that your father loves. Rebecca knows exactly what the father loves. Rebecca knows the will of God. The Holy Spirit knows the will of God. The Holy Spirit alone knows exactly what God loves for salvation to come to you. Esau knows exactly what the father loves, and so he goes out from the father to hunt for it. Esau goes out to hunt for it. He goes out from the father. Christ is he who is in heaven with the father. He leaves heaven that he may come and die, that he may bring salvation. Christ has gone hunting to bring the father what he wants. Christ came to earth on a mission. The mission of Christ was so that the inheritance may come to you. That's why Jesus came. You see, the teaching that is in the churches is far removed from the Christ of the Bible. Jesus is not interested in the things that are going in your life right now. Jesus is looking at your eternity. This life is a vapor. It's gone just like that. Jesus is interested in eternity, eternal matters, eternal life. But Rebecca says, obey my voice. Listen to me. Listen to my gospel. Listen to my teaching on how to approach your father and get the blessing. You cannot just approach your father anyhow you want. You cannot approach God just because you died. No one goes to heaven just because they died. Amen. The issue is acceptance. The issue of the gospel is approach. Jesus came to show us the way of approach. How do you approach the God who has encased himself in a light that is unapproachable? God cannot be approached. How do you approach that God? And yet he has an appointment with every one of us. He has set an appointment for you to come at the throne of judgment. Christ will be seated at the throne of judgment. What is he going to say? Is he going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity? Or is he going to come and say, come here, you are one of my own, come into the blessedness of my Father? That's the issue. Obey my voice. How shall a sinner be accepted by God is the matter of the gospel. Do sinners like Jacob know what Isaac wants before he can bless with the inheritance? Do people know what God demands of salvation? How shall they know if they do not have the Holy Spirit to teach them the truth of salvation? How shall they know if God receives them? Your church cannot give you this truth. Your mother cannot give you this truth. Only the Holy Spirit gives this knowledge to the ones who are loved by Him, those loved of God. Only those who belong to Christ know how to approach God. So the issue of the gospel is, how do you approach God? It has nothing to do with your marriage. It has nothing to do with everything that is going on in your life. Those are small matters. You have to approach God. You have to approach God. Too many lies are being told on Christ. Hear the foolishness and the simplicity of the gospel. Verse 11 and 12 of Genesis 27. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. Jacob has objections. Jacob has reservations to this way of salvation, to this way of receiving the blessing. This seems to just be so simple. It is also very risky. This is not trustworthy. And many raise objections against the simplicity of Christ, against the simplicity of the gospel. And we say the grace of God is alone enough for you to be accepted and to be received by God himself. And people say, no, you have to do something. You have to keep the law. You have to keep the law. People cannot just do whatever they want. You have to give them the law. Give them the law. Give them something. Get them to wear the long dresses. Get them a long dress. A long dress will never open the doors of heaven for you, because that is not the way of getting the blessing. God will see your nakedness even through the long dress. That's right. So those who don't know to preach the gospel, they're always preaching about, oh, you're wearing a miniskirt. Oh, you're drinking. Oh, you're smoking. You are medicating the symptoms, not the disease. Preach Christ. If God wants them to get a long dress, they'll get the long dress. But don't think that someone is saved because they're wearing a long dress. It's false teaching. It's false hope. We have to know how to get the blessing. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying through Rebecca. The cross of Christ is foolishness to those who are perishing. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing because they think there's something that they have to do to earn God's blessing. You can't earn that which God gives freely. You want to pay that which God gives for free? How much money do you have? If you should stand on grace alone, it shall seem to be deception. Oh, this grace message. That's what people say. This grace message is deception. It's causing people to sin. No, you were already sinners. So, people want to give you something to do. Grace plus something. Grace, yes, of course we believe in the message of grace, but you have to do something. And so, in the book of Galatians, the Galatian church was the least scandalous church in the New Testament in terms of it was almost a perfect church. Everything seemed to be right. If you look at the Corinthian church, as we spoke about yesterday, the Corinthian church was messed up to the heavens. And yet Paul comes and says, saints of God, chosen, loved by God. But there's some foolishness going on. To the Galatians, Paul takes the biggest gun that he can get and puts the strongest, most powerful weapons and says, I hear you are departing from the truth. If anyone should preach a gospel different from the one which we delivered to you, let them be accursed. And I say again, repetition, just in case you didn't get it. And I say again, if anyone comes, even an angel from heaven, even myself, Paul, I change that message, let them be accursed. And that means let them be banned for God's glory for preaching a false gospel. This is a church that was so organized and disciplined. What was the problem? The problem was Jesus plus something. That's the whole book of Galatians. They were adding to Jesus. If you add to Jesus, you are cursed. So you can add to Jesus by things that are good. Circumcision was good. It was commanded of God in the Old Testament. All Jews were to be circumcised. So there was nothing wrong with circumcision itself, but when you require it as something that someone has to do to receive the blessing of God, then God says, no, you have to be accursed. Jesus plus you is hell. Jesus plus good works is hell. Jesus stands alone. Jesus stands alone. He has to stand alone. You can't add to Jesus. That's why the book of Galatians is very harsh. Paul was not playing. Because the message of God's grace is dangerous stuff. Because it's about him. It's about what he has done. It's about his purpose. Everything is in Christ. God is outworking everything in Christ Jesus. So you don't play with that. You get in trouble. Okay. But Jacob is right. Jacob is so right. I wish many would hear and understand what Jacob is saying. Jacob says, look, mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. Esau is a hairy man, and I am not. Esau is a righteous man. His hairiness is a picture of the righteousness of Christ. Jacob says, look at me, mother. Look at me. I am not hairy. My skin is smooth. I have no natural covering on me. I have no natural covering on me. So if my father would feel me, he would feel that I don't have any righteousness of my own. A smooth-skinned person cannot get the blessing without the covering of the clothes of their older brother. If I should try to approach my father, seeking his blessing, and I'm not Esau, I shall call a curse upon myself, not a blessing. If you should try to come before God without the clothes of your brother Esau, of your older brother, the one that God loves, you shall bring a curse upon yourself. Now God, may God show you that you are not as hairy as you think, but you are smooth-skinned just like Jacob. Which means a sinner like Jacob. See that the hairiness of Esau was natural to him. The hairiness of Jacob was not natural to him. Jacob had an acquired hairiness. It was not his. you have the righteousness of Christ, it was given. Jacob got the blessing wearing the clothes of another. That's the only way to get the blessing. Yes. Hear this, verse 13. But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." Rebecca says, "Trust me. You have to trust me. I know what I am doing and saying." And he went, verse 14, and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Rebecca is not just making the food. She is also dressing Jacob. This is what she does, verse 15. Then Rebecca took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. Rebecca took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau. They were in the company. They were in the closet somewhere. She knew where they were. The best clothes of Esau, they were clean. She had them ironed and perfumed. She knew where they were. They were with her in the house, and it is her who put them on Jacob, her younger son, to say what? The Holy Spirit is he alone who knows the way of clothing. The Holy Spirit alone is he who knows the way of the righteousness of Christ. He alone knows how you are to be clothed, that you may meet God and get the blessing. The Holy Spirit alone is he who knows Jesus. He knows the closet where Jesus keeps his righteousness. Only he has access to it. The believer is clothed with the righteousness of Christ. The best clothes. These are not just some raggedy clothes. These are the best clothes. They are given. The best clothes are given because the food that the Father loves to eat had been given and accepted. The righteousness of Christ has come to us because the food that God required, this is the food, I have food to eat, Jesus said, and my food is to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father was accomplished by Jesus. And when Jesus was accomplishing everything that God required of you to be saved, that was the eating of God. God does not ever get hungry. So these are just words that are used so that we may relate to our level of understanding. God is not saying he's hungry. So the choice gods had been killed, and that means blood had been spilled. Pay attention to that. The choice gods had to be killed, which means blood had to be shed. And that means Christ had to be offered in the picture before the blessing would come. The blessing could not come without the shedding of blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. There's no cancellation of sin. Remission means to cancel. The blood of Christ has cancelled all the record of your sin. There's no record of your sin if you belong to Christ. That's the truth of the gospel. If you are going to purgatory, it means you still have some record of something that you did not pay, that you're going and making good for yourself. And that is not the gospel. God says, I have forgotten your sins, and their sins I will remember no more. The God who does not forget has only forgotten one thing, and that is your sin. As far as the east is from the west, so have I removed your iniquity from you, God says. Now, why the east from the west? Because the east and the west don't ever meet. You go east, you keep going east, and the west keeps going west. And God says, as far as that, I have forgotten your sins. That's good news. But I have a lot of sins that I don't want to explain to God. That's why I like this gospel. I love it so much that I am willing to come and tell you about it. It's good news. It's good news. Salvation is the inheritance that God has given and has come by the death of Christ. It has come at the expense of the older brother who had the right of inheritance, the older brother who ended up being condemned even though he had done nothing wrong. Esau was condemned. Esau did not do anything wrong. That the blessing may come to his younger brother, who was Jacob the deceiver. Christ Jesus was condemned as our older brother. Christ is our older brother. He was condemned on the cross, even though he knew no sin. He did not commit any sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Jesus never did anything wrong, and yet he found himself dying on the cross, the death of lawless criminals, Christ on the cross for your sins, making it good for you, that you may get the blessing and approach the Father. That's good news. Yeah, verse 16. I forgot to start my timer, so I don't even know where we are. It may be 10 o'clock before we get done. You know we're getting done when you get to the end. We're close. Verse 16 of Genesis 27. And she put the skins of the kids of the gods on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Rebekah put the skins of the kids of the gods on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck, just for full coverage. Full coverage. Christ does not give you salvation halfway or in half measures. It's a complete salvation. Now, that's some strange stuff. The gods had just been slaughtered. Pay attention to that. The gods had just been slaughtered, and that means the skins or the hides were not yet dry. They still had blood in them. They still were smelling of blood. I don't know what is this thing with God and blood. He just loves blood. And what does Rebecca do with them? She uses them to cover the smooth parts of the neck and hands of Jacob. Why? Because Jacob has a serious problem in this transaction. He is a plain man. He is a smooth-skinned person. Jacob is a sinner. Jacob has no covering. Jacob has no righteousness. Jacob is no different from the man who had the demoniac, because he too did not have clothes on. Christ brought clothes for him, for the demoniac, and Jacob had to get clothes. Blind beggar Bartimaeus, he used to beg on the side of the road to Jericho. He was a beggar. He heard that Jesus was passing by. And he said, son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people, the disciples, said, you shut up. Shut up. But they could not shut up. He actually was pumping it up. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus says, let him come. And once Jesus says, let him come, you're coming. And he came. And he said to him, what would you have me to do for you? And the blind beggar Bartimaeus said, I would like to receive my sight. I would like to see Christ Jesus. That was his only request. He didn't say, oh, can you leave me some money so that I can go to the restaurant and get some food? He says, no, I just want to see. If I can see Christ clearly, then all my troubles will be solved. I just want to see. But before blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus, something happened. When Jesus said, let him come, blind Bartimaeus took his garment. He had a garment that he used to cover himself. Blind Bartimaeus used to live outside in Palestine. And because of the heat and the dust, this was his covering from the elements, from the natural elements of weather. So this was his security. This was all that he had. And blind Bartimaeus, when he sees Christ, even as he is blind, he is running to Jesus, a blind man running to Jesus, whom he has not seen physically, but he has seen him in the spirit. The Holy Spirit is moving with blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus takes off his garment and he runs to Jesus. Because there's no one who comes to Christ with their own righteousness. They have to take off their garments. That's why Jesus said the way is narrow. The way is narrow because you have to take off your own garments that you may enter through. Blind Bartimaeus, Bar means the son of. Timaeus is... What's the word that I'm looking for? Chaldean. Chaldean is a language spoken in Iraq, Baghdad. Timaeus means the son of unclean. The son of unclean, the blind beggar, is seated on the roadway and begging, gets the blessing from Christ. His sight was restored. The question is, what do you have on for your own clothing? Blind Bartimaeus took off his. Jacob had no clothes he had to get from mom. And the man who was the demoniac had to get clothes from Jesus. The question of the gospel is, what do you have in? What do you have for your clothing? Is that clothing enough for you to meet with God in peace? Every sinner has a smooth skin before God. Every sinner is naked because of Adam. Adam and Eve, when they ate from the tree, they realized the first thing that they learned was that they were naked, which means they had no righteousness. That's where the nakedness came from. So all children of man are born naked. To preach the gospel, you only clothe them after they have come out of the womb as a picture of God preaching Christ. They are born naked and then they are covered. This is what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 2:22. We are almost done. For though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. God says, do all the good things as you want. Be as religious as you want. Do all the washing that you can do. But your iniquity still remains before me. I see your sin. It is marked before me, because by the deeds of the flesh, by the deeds of the law, shall no man be made righteous before God. So there's only one way for them to get the blessing, for them to be made righteous. They need the best clothes of their elder brother. They need to be covered by the garments of Christ, the garments of another, the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. And these are the garments of Christ that were divided on the cross after Jesus died. The Roman soldiers divided the garments of Christ. Why did they divide the garments of Christ when Jesus died? Because, like Jacob, they had nothing to cover their own shame and nakedness. The garments of Christ were fresh with the blood of Christ, who had been beaten with many stripes. The garments that Jacob had on, the best clothes, yet also they had the blood of the goats that had just been killed. They smelled of blood. So if God should bless, he has to eat only the one kind of food, that which is the sacrifice of his own son, Jesus Christ. God has a particular diet. He is on a restricted diet. He has particular food that he loves. And if you do not bring that food to him, he will curse you. The food that God gives is the giving of Christ on the cross. It is Christ offering himself on the cross for our sins. So Rebekah put the severed food into the hands of Jacob to bring it to the Father. The Holy Spirit has to give you the truth of Christ and put it into your hands, as it were. He has to put it in your heart. He has to cause you to be born again. If the Holy Spirit does not give you the truth of Christ, you cannot come to the Father. You won't know the way to the Father. Verse 20 of Genesis 27. But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" This is very important. Okay, our time is not that bad. Man, scare me. Okay, so I'll relax. But I'm almost done here. I need to finish this well. Pay attention to verse 20. But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" Isaac said to Jacob, "How is it you have found it so quickly? How do you get that kind of righteousness that serves and blesses so quickly and so easily and so effortlessly? How did you get that perfection of righteousness that quickly? You sinner born in Adam, where do you get that righteousness that God accepts that quickly? If you should find what God requires for salvation by yourself, you will never find it. But how is it that you have found it so quickly?" Many will come and say, "Because I chose Jesus, I invited Jesus, I made him Lord and Savior. I had the man of God lay my hands on me. I've been giving my tithe." That is a testimony that you are yet to find the food that God eats. Here, the answer given by Jacob, hear this. There's just way too many beautiful things in this story, but if you would get something, I want you to hear this testimony here. Hear what Jacob says in response. Jacob says to the question, "How is it that you have become righteous? How did you get to this point so quickly? What is your answer?" Religion will teach you to say this and that. "I did this, I did that." Hear what Jacob says. Jacob says, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." That's it. That's it. Get this point. The only way you're righteous is because God, the Lord, has brought righteousness to you. That is the only answer that you're going to give. How shall you be saved? How shall you become righteous? Because God, my Lord, has brought the righteousness to me. I was not even looking for it. I was not looking for it. It is not because of what you and I did. It is not because of your willing or your desire or your choice, but because the Lord God has brought it to you. The Holy Spirit brought the knowledge of Christ to you. God the Father brought the knowledge of Christ to you. Christ accomplished the righteousness for you. The gospel is what has brought salvation to you. It has brought the righteousness, the inheritance. There's nothing that you and I can do to improve on it. Verse 21, Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son, Esau, or not." God is going to feel you to see what righteousness you have on. What is God checking to find? Like Isaac, he is checking to see if you are really his son, Esau, or not. God is only looking for the one and only one, Jesus Christ. God is only looking for the righteousness of his son alone, and he recognizes it. I need to hear this. You may be feeling tired, but I'm more tired than you. I need you to get this. Isaac feels Jacob. He's looking for the one thing he wants to feel his son. God is looking for the one thing he wants to feel if you have Christ. That's the only thing he's looking for. He's looking to see if you have the gospel truth of Christ Jesus. He knows how his son smells. He knows how Christ smells. So are you in Christ? The only way to smell like Christ is to be found in him. So, verse 22, so Jacob went near to his father and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. When Isaac felt Jacob, he said something strange. He says, the voice is that of Jacob. It is the voice of the sinner. It is your voice. I hear the voice of blessing. It's still blessing, but I am feeling something different around her. She's not the same person that I used to know. I hear her. I hear the sinner in her, but she has some other clothes that are confusing me. The righteousness of Christ confuses God in that regard. You remain a sinner. Hear me. I have to teach. When you become a Christian, it doesn't mean that you stop being a sinner. God still hears the voice of Jacob in you. I hear the voice of the sinner in you. But when I feel you, I feel the righteousness of Christ. I feel the righteousness of Christ. So you cannot be feeling condemned of your sin if you know the gospel. People say, well, if you come to Christ, you stop doing this and you stop doing that. God says, oh, I hear the voice of Jacob still. I hear the voice of Jacob. God recognizes the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. Hear what, I only have like a few things to say, but I need to say it right, because these messages are recorded and they go a long ways out. Okay? Isaac says, come to me. And he begins to feel the hands of Jacob. What is Isaac looking for? Isaac is a type of God. He's looking to feel the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. Because the nail-scarred hands of Jesus is the righteousness of God. If God is going to come and feel you, he has to feel Jesus. He can't feel you. The nail-scarred hands, and then he's going to smell the blood. He's going to smell the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. That is the scandal of the gospel. How can that be? Because of what is called the free imputation of the righteousness of Christ. It's a big word, but it just means that God reckons he gives the righteousness of another. Christ has the righteousness, and God takes that righteousness and he puts it into your account. That is what is called imputation. And it happens for free. That is what it means by grace. God takes the righteousness of Christ, the obedience of Christ, and he puts it into your account. And he does it for free. You don't pay for anything. You don't do anything. That is God's free and sovereign grace. Verse 23, and he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Isaac did not recognize who Jacob was because his hands were like those of his brother Esau. Rebekah had worked her magic. Right now, as things stand, as we close, God does not condemn you only for one reason. Because your hands have been made hairy like that of your elder brother, Jesus Christ. The believer, the elect, cannot be separated from Christ. They are one with Christ now. God sees them in Christ and sees Christ in them, even though personally we continue to struggle with sin. And that is the reason why the text says Isaac was blind. The purpose of Isaac being blind was so that this transaction would be taught this way, that Isaac would not be able to see the difference between the sons as a picture of how God looks at us and does not see the difference between us and Christ. God meant to preach the testimony of Christ. So what happened as a result of that? The text says he did not recognize him. So he blessed him. God blessed us because of what? Not because of our obedience. Not because of our goodness. We were blessed because, like Jacob, we have on the clothes of another. So we are blessed on account of the righteousness of Christ alone. But hear this about Esau. Esau comes and he is seeking the blessing. But he comes at the end of it. And the father says, oh no, my son, I don't have any more blessing. And this father, this is very strange. The father actually begins to condemn his own son. He begins to curse his own son. Esau is being condemned for what? Esau is being condemned on account of his younger brother. Esau is a type of Christ who is being condemned on account of you and I because of our sin. So Esau, despising his birthright, is Christ who is despising his inheritance, because Christ is he alone who holds all the inheritance. He was not supposed to share it. That's what it means to despise it. Jesus was not supposed to share his inheritance. And yet the Bible says we have been made co-heirs with Christ. We have been blessed with Christ in the heavenly places with every spiritual gift. Okay, hear this from Jesus and then we'll finish. In Matthew 20:28, Jesus says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The Son of Man came to give his life a ransom as a payment for many, that they may enter into the blessing of salvation. And in 2 Corinthians 8:9, this is what Paul says. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was rich, although he had the inheritance, he became poor. He despised it. He became poor for your sakes, so that you, by his poverty, could become rich. So the poverty of Christ and the richness that we have is salvation. It's not money. So Christ, the older brother, came to serve. He came to despise his own inheritance, that you and I, who were the deceivers, would get the blessing of God freely. Thanks to Rebecca, the conniving mother. We are done. Thank be to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this message on the testimony of Rebecca and Jacob and Esau, and how in that picture, we see how our salvation has come to us by way of the brother, the older brother, who despised his own inheritance and sharing it with us, coming and dying, becoming poor in the process, that we may be made rich towards God. We thank you for the teaching that you've given us, Lord. We just pray that you bring some of these things to your people. It's a lot of teaching, but we don't have as much time, Lord. You know all things. But you've given us as much as we need to know. May you give us rest. May you protect us as we go home our different ways. And just praying that you bring us again sometime this week, this coming week, and bless us again with all the messages that you've given me to share. Lord, I honor you and glorify you. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.